Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. Good to have you back this week. I'm almost better. So if I choke on my cough drop while I'm preaching, somebody who knows CPR, you come see me. Yeah, good, good, good. Glad to hear that. Glad to hear that. Really are glad you're here today and looking forward to our worship time together. So one of the ways we start our service is to just ask you all to say hello to each other. So you can just say hi to the person next to you, behind you, in front of you. If you need to cross the aisle, feel free. Stand up with me and fellowship together. We always share a verse as we get started in our worship time, and I want to share a couple of verses with you. Let me give you the context out of which these verses come. Jesus went away for a spiritual retreat up on a mountain. He had some of the disciples with him, and when he came back down, he was met by a person in the crowd who had a very ill son. And the person must have known of Jesus because he called Jesus a teacher. And so he said to Jesus, "I need you to heal my son. There's a spirit that takes hold of the boy, throws him to the ground. The boy foams at the mouth, clenches his teeth. He becomes very rigid." And he had told Jesus, "I told your disciples about this, but they couldn't fix it." And so Jesus talked with him a little bit more, brought his son. And in matter of fact, when the son came before Jesus, the very same thing happened again. He was gnashing, fell to the ground, foamed at the mouth. And the dad told Jesus, "It's been like this since childhood." And Jesus saw the people were running toward him. And Jesus rebuked this spirit. And he said, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." And it says that the spirit cried out, but then it did leave the boy, and the boy looked as though he was dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, the boy stood up, and continued his life. At the end of that story, here's the verses I want you to hear. When he had entered the house, Jesus, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" By this time in Jesus' ministry, his disciples had been empowered to do these kinds of things. They said, "Jesus, why? We tried. We did what you taught us. We believed. We had faith. What's going on here? Why could we not cast it out?" And Jesus said to them, listen up, "This kind cannot come out except by prayer and fasting." It wasn't going to happen without sincere prayer and fasting. We're going to be talking about that in just a little while. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for bringing us together again. We're grateful. And we ask you, Lord, to remind us that you are here. Give us a very special sense of your presence with us. And in the midst of that, Father, accept our worship, our thanks. We're grateful, Lord, that when we worship you, we can bless you and praise you and thank you, but we can also come before you just as we are. And that you, in the midst of our worship of you, you bless us, you wrap your arms around us. Guide us through the rest of our service now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you get the message? Look where you're sitting. You might be sitting on one of these. I'm going to bring this up later in the service. Easter's just, I counted in the pew there, a few Sundays away. We have four more marches, and then April 5th, it's Easter Sunday. So we need, it's our privilege, it's our honor. One of the ways we serve God is just to invite somebody to Easter. And just invite them. If you sweat that bad, though, you might want to use a lot of deodorant or a second shirt or something. People want to be invited to church, particularly on Easter. Easter is well attended all across our nation, all across the world. And all you need to do is say, "Hey, here's our church. We'd love for you to come." Hand them a card, just to remind them. Hand them a card and say, "Would you love to come to Easter?" Good enough? Going to do it? So here's what I thought we would do John and Jason. John skipped out real quick. He's back there. But I thought, Jason, we could do for every invite card, literally for every invite card that you give out, we'll pay you a dollar. John and Jason, pay you a dollar for everyone. You up for that, Jason? Jason said, he's like, dude, you put me on the spot. It's interesting, and it probably happens all across the world, that we have things that we're told will work. And then, not too long after that, we're told, but if you use this, it'll work better. Anybody ever use Tylenol? But just used to be Tylenol. Now there's Tylenol Extra Strength. Excedrin, then there's Extra Strength. Harry's Antiperspirant. Who uses Harry's Antiperspirant? Do you use it? It's probably failing you because they make an extra strength of that same things. They have Gas X. Some of us have to use that every once in a while. They make it an extra strength. If you have to use Extra Strength Gas X, quit eating that stuff. It's just not good. They have cleaning products. Remember Mr. Clean? Way back. And now they have Mr. Clean 2 times cleaner. Aluminum foil, extra heavy aluminum foil. Super glue could hold a guy up by a helmet on a beam, but it's not good enough. Now we have JB Weld Super Weld Extreme Instant Adhesive Glue. Anybody ever use Tide? I think that's all we used to have in America was Tide. Now there's Tide Ultra Oxy Boost Persil Heavy Duty. There are some conditions where there's prerequisites and principles you need to follow in prayer in order to see God work. And when we pray, God always hears, and he does work. But in the case scenario I read to you earlier about Jesus casting out that spirit, Jesus told the disciples, but sometimes it requires more earnest, deep prayer. We've been in a series called Chatting with God. Today we're going to look at chatting with God for Easter miracles. Now, you should have gotten in your outline in the bulletin. We got real excited about this message. We filled it in for you. But you still can take notes in between the lines. We're going to look at the story of a blind man that Jesus healed. And from it, we're going to get 5 principles about how to pray for Easter miracles, how to chat with God for Easter miracles. In Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43, it says this. As they approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked what was happening. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was going by. So he began shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The crowds ahead of Jesus tried to hush the man, but he only shouted louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and he ordered that the man be brought to him. And then Jesus asked the man, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, he pleaded, I want to see. And Jesus said, all right, you got it. You can see. Your faith has healed you. Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God. And all who saw it praised God too. We have here an example of how you chat with God about miracles, specifically about Easter miracles. Because I don't want just to have a good Easter service. I don't want just the sanctuary to fill up. And by the way, we're almost there today. I don't want us to just have chairs down here where I don't want to just have super great music. I don't want to just have a wonderful fellowship time. I want people's lives to be changed. I want people who are lost, they've never accepted Christ as their Savior. I want them to do that. I want people who are believers, but they've gotten out of fellowship with God. I want them to come back. I want people who are believers, they don't have a church home, to consider being here. I don't just want to have a good Easter service. I want to have an Easter service where lives are changed. And so we need to talk to God about that. We need to chat with God about that now to be able to see that happen. come Easter Sunday. So let me give us some guidelines about how we chat with God for Easter miracles. Number one, you need to chat passionately. You need to put your whole heart into it. When you pray, when you chat with God, do so with intensity, with feeling, with a sense of urgency. Have you ever noticed when your kids want things, they want them now, and they just have to have them, that you've got to go get it now? God listens for those whose passion includes requests for people around them. Look at the way this guy talked. Look at how he chatted with Jesus in verse 38. He cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the Living Bible, in the same verse, the Living Bible says, he began shouting. He's pleading here with Jesus. He knows exactly what he wants, and he says it with passion. One of the problems you and I have in prayer sometimes, it's what's called perfunctory praying. Perfunctory praying means to be carried out with a minimal effort. It's superficial, it's casual, it's half-hearted. We just send out church words to God in our prayers, and there's really nothing, not a whole lot to it. Do you ever realize sometimes you feel like you're saying the same thing in your prayers over and over and over again, same words, same phrases? We all do that. And in and of itself, that may not be totally wrong at all. But there's sometimes God says, you need to shake up what you're telling me. You need to shake up what you're asking me. We need to pray with passion. Real praying has feeling in it. Maybe one of our prayers needs to be, God, replace my cold, passionless heart with renewed passion as I talk with you. Get enthusiastic about it. Eugene Ormandy was a man born in Budapest, and he could identify symphonies at age 3. He played the violin at age 4. He performed concerts at age 7 and earned a master's degree at age 14. He didn't go to Moscow. He moved to America when he was 22. He became the conductor of the Philadelphia Orchestra for 44 years. And at one performance, while pouring himself into the work of conducting, Ormandy dislocated his shoulder. Did you hear me? He dislocated his shoulder while he was conducting music. I'm impressed. I don't know what they were playing, but Ormandy was giving all of himself to it. Scripture says, whatever you do, whatever you task it may be, work from the soul. Put your effort, your very best effort, into it. When you chat with God, get into it. Give it your all. Jeremiah 29:13, look at that verse. God says, you will find me when you seek me, how? With all of your heart. Half-hearted praying doesn't cut it. It's better to have a heart without words in prayer than to have words without heart in your prayer. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can pray is help. Help. Be passionate in your praying. When chatting with God for an Easter miracle, when you're praying for the Easter miracles you're going to be praying for, chat passionately. Number two, chat persistently. Keep on praying until the miracle happens. In verse 39 in this story, the Bible says the people in front scolded him and they told him to be quiet. Now, that would have shut a lot of people up, but this guy didn't know any better. But he shouted even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." I like this guy. He's determined. Nobody's going to stop him from getting to Jesus. I admire his bullheadedness. It says he shouted even more loudly, "I want a miracle." He's passionate. He's persistent. Are we relentless when we pray for needs, our own needs, someone else's needs? Or do we just pray one time, and if we don't get an answer, we just walk away? Why should I be persistent in my prayers? Should I be persistent because God doesn't hear me and I've got to wake him up? No, it's not like that. In fact, he knows what you're going to ask even before you ask it. Then why do I have to be persistent? Because it shows him what you really want, what you really care about. If I don't care about something enough to pray about it more than one time, then it's really not that important. Notice that the more you have to wait for something, the more you desire it, the more you should pray passionately about it. Be persistent while you're waiting. Look at what Paul said in Colossians 4:2. Don't be weary in prayer. Keep at it. Watch for God's answer. He's saying don't quit too soon. I read about two ladies who were praying for their husbands to come to know Jesus. And they prayed together for 7 years and didn't see any response in their husbands at all. Their husbands just weren't interested in spiritual things, but they never gave up. And they decided that God says, keep on praying, we're going to keep on praying. And they prayed and prayed for their husbands for the rest of their lives to come to know Jesus as their Savior. They said, we're going to die praying persistently. 10 years later, both of those men gave their life to Jesus. And I wonder if 9 years earlier they had quit, would that have happened? Be passionate, be persistent. Number three, chat precisely. Be precise when you chat with God about miracles, particularly our upcoming Easter miracle. Tell God what you want in detail. Vague prayers get vague answers. When you say, God bless America, God bless Mary or Dale or whoever it is, that's okay, but that's just throwing a blanket. It's like throwing a shrimp net out there, hoping you might get something. You need to be specific, precise. Look at verse 40. Jesus stopped and ordered that the blind man be brought to him, and when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want? You think Jesus didn't know what he wanted? Jesus knew he was blind. Jesus knew he wanted his sight back. But he said, what do you want? And he said, sir, I want to see again. Jesus says the same thing to us. What do we want God to do for us? If Jesus asked you that this morning, what would you say? I mean, if he came here and sat next to you after you passed out, came back, and he said, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What would you tell him? What would you tell him? How precise could you be? Well, I want healing in my family. That's good. What healing? Specifically, who's included? What needs to happen? Tell him. It's interesting, when we tell each other stories, we like to get into the details a lot of times, right? I mean, listen to this. And we're just going up and down. We come to Jesus and we say, God bless us. Bless us all. Get precise. This man said, you want to know what I want, Jesus? I want to see again. Jesus asked us, what do you want specifically in your life? Look at James chapter 4, verse 2. The reason you don't have what you want is because you don't ask God for it. You have not because you ask not. Folks, God never shuts his storehouse until we shut our mouths. We need to chat with God over and over and over and over and over and over again, just telling him what it is we want. Vague praying is lazy praying. Precise Praying takes time, it takes thought, it takes effort, it takes energy. What do I really want? It takes a self-examination. It's so easy to say, God bless my family, God bless my church, than to get specific about it. Be specific when you chat with God about the miracles that you want to happen in 4 weeks, Easter Sunday, here at our church. Well, since your outline's already filled out, why don't you write a few things down? Let's just take this time to make good use of those pens and papers you got. What's one specific thing you would want to pray for that God will do here miraculously? Maybe it has to do with you. Maybe it has to do with your family. Maybe it has to do with somebody you're going to invite. What one, just one specific thing you need to start chatting to God about for Easter Sunday here at Grace Point Church? Get specific. God, here you go. You can't think much. God, I'm taking 10 of these home today. I need you to show me 10 people I can give these to. Somebody at the grocery store, somebody you don't know, family member, somebody you work with. I'm taking 10, God. I'm taking 10. Hand them out. And then you owe them 10 bucks, Jason. One of the keys to praying specifically is to write down your prayer request. Just write them down. And you can cross them off and thank God when they're answered. These are 5 things I'm asking for my family member, my son, my husband, my wife, my daughter, my grandkids. These are 5 things I'm asking to God for at the place I work. Write it down. Get specific. When chatting with God for an Easter miracle, pray. Chat passionately, persistently, precisely. And 4, chat positively. Chat positively. Expect God to answer. Trust God to answer. Verse 42, Jesus said this to the blind man. He said, see, your faith, excuse me, your faith has made you well. Underline that word faith. Circle that word faith. You've got to expect God to answer. If you don't expect him to answer, don't talk to him. Don't pray to him. Don't chat with him. If you're just, God, I'm sending this up there, but I really don't expect you to do anything. Then why say it? Now, I'll back off from that a little bit because there are things that I don't fully believe in my heart and my head. I still talk to God about. It's up to him to change me. It's up to me to be willing to be changed. Jesus told this blind man that his faith had made him well. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have that kind of faith. Me either. I don't. I want to. But you know what I found out from Scripture? I don't have to have full 100% faith for God to do great things in my life and through my life. There was another story where a man whose son was dying and Jesus brought that son to him, or the man brought it to Jesus. He said, Jesus, my son's dying and I need you. I want you to heal him so bad. He's almost dead. And Jesus said, well, do you believe I can heal him? And the man was honest. I love a guy who's honest. The man said, yes, I believe you can. And then he said, there's part of me that doesn't believe. Now, a lot of times in Scripture, we think, well, if they don't have full faith, they're not getting the healing. Nope, that's not true. Because he said, you're an honest man. I have faith, but I don't have faith. I believe, but I don't believe. Jesus said, you know what? That's good enough for me. And Jesus healed his son. You know what honest faith is? Honest faith is saying, God, I believe, but I also don't. There's parts of me that have questions. There are parts of me that have doubt. There's parts of me that still have unbelief. And God says, that's good enough. That's good enough. Look at Philippians 4:19. We'll go back to Mark 11:24. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you will receive it and it'll be yours. And then down in Philippians 4:19, Paul said, And God will supply your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us through Christ Jesus. He's got the resources that we need. He'll disperse them in his timing, in his way. We'll keep talking to him about them. And number five, chat praisefully. I don't even know if that's a word. But I checked it out when it was on my computer, and it didn't get dinged as it's not a word, so I just left it on there. Chat praisefully. That basically means when you see miracles happening, and you see God answering prayer, you just express your gratitude to him. You express your gratitude to him. Look at verse 43. At once he was able to see, and he followed Jesus, giving thanks to God. And when the crowd saw it, they all praised God. Notice two things after this guy got his sight. Number one, he followed Jesus. And number two, he gave thanks to God. Those are two things that we need to do after we receive an answer to prayer. We follow Jesus and we thank God. There's a story in the Bible about 10 lepers who came to see Jesus. And in those days, leprosy was the disease that everyone feared. Everyone believed people must have done something wrong to get leprosy. So lepers were outcasts. They were thrown, literally thrown out of society. They had areas around which they could not enter. Most of them died from their leprosy as an outcast. The Bible says there was a time when Jesus healed 10 of them. Took it away. Gone. No more symptoms. No more physical indication that they were left. He healed them. And the Bible says they all started walking away. 10 of them. Not one of them, does the Bible say that they said thank you. Except one. A man realized, oh my God, he just saved me. He turned around, walked back up, and he said, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you for what you've done in my life. Remember to give God thanks when he answers the times that you chat with him about needs that you have or other people have. We better make sure that Sunday after Easter that we take time to thank God for what he did in our service. Look what Paul said in Philippians 4:6. In all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking him with a what heart? Thankful heart. So we need to be fasting for prayers. We need to be fasting for miracles. Prayer and fasting. Look at Mark chapter 9, verse 29. When the people asked Jesus, how did you heal those people? We couldn't do it. We couldn't cast a demon out of it. Jesus said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but two things, prayer and fasting. Now we've been talking what prayer is. We've been talking about it for 4 weeks. We're talking about it today. You need to chat with God. You need to pray with God. You need to talk with God outwardly, inwardly. And then sometimes it says you need to fast. Now we know what fasting is. Many people use it as a way to lose weight. We diet. So we're not going to eat foods during certain times or certain kinds of food and things like that. I get all that. Spiritually, fasting means the time you would have taken to make that meal and to eat it and do the dishes and all of that. Maybe that's an hour, hot dogs in a microwave, 5 minutes. You take that time, you set aside time, and for instead of doing nothing, that's time where you're going to be in fellowship with God, praying to God, reading God's word. Sometimes things don't happen until you pray and fast. That's what we need to be doing for Easter Sunday. That's intense. First time I watched that video, I didn't like it. I was like, I don't like that. If I don't like it, you're not going to like it. And I watched it again and again. I thought, you know, that guy's just asking some honest questions. I don't think he's trying to make us feel guilty. If I feel a little guilty because my prayers haven't been as passionate, that's not his fault. Does that make sense? So what this does for me is it challenges me to make sure that I'm staying in tune with God by chatting with him any time I need to, any time I want to, and to set aside special times when it's just me and him. And I get to talk. I get to listen. He gets to change me, challenge me, and bless me. I hope it's with that mindset you take that video. Now, it took me 3 times. Let's watch it again. I'm encouraged that God is a God that we can talk to and that he speaks back to us in many, many ways. I want to make sure we're ready for Easter. Not because we have cards printed, not because we might do an Easter egg hunt back in our new playground, not because everybody's going to wear what they have new, and not because we'll be back in the fellowship hall by then, right? We'll be eating back there, and not for any other reason, but that we can come together, worship God, so lives can be changed, starting with us. Now, I want to conclude this message here by rereading couple of verses I read earlier. When Jesus had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we cast it out?" Jesus said to them, "This cannot come out except by prayer and fasting." That's what I want us to get out of this today. Good enough? All right, let's pray together. God, I want to thank you that you are gracious and loving and kind to us, and that you make it easy for us to come to talk to you. You're there. We can come unconditionally. We don't have to meet expectations. We don't have to live a life that day, that week, that month, that year that was sinless and blameless. We can just come to you as a Father, a Heavenly Father, who loves us unconditionally, who created us, who wants us to come in fellowship with you and pray to you and talk to you and chat with you. We want to do that now, Lord, for our upcoming Easter service. I pray the house will be full. Not so we can say it was full, but because it'll be full with people. Your people who are already believers coming to worship you and rejoice over the resurrection of Jesus. Christians who will come who haven't been for a while in any church. And I pray they'll be reminded that you are their God and they are still your children. And maybe they just need to rekindle that fellowship with you. And I pray for the folks who will come here who have not yet made a commitment to Jesus. We pray that by your power, Holy Spirit, by your Spirit, your power, the way you're working in their life, work in their lives now. And when they come that Sunday, use something. A hello from somebody sitting next to them. Music we'll hear and sing. Videos we'll see, the message. Use something for them to say, you know what? I want to give my life to Jesus today. We talk with you, we pray to you now, we chat with you about this now, and God, we fully expect that those things and more will happen. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are. Bless our time of response, God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Couple of things, real quick. Easter. Have I said enough about that today? Sure enough, get some more cards. Invite some folks to Easter. We're excited about that. And sometimes Easter sneaks up on us, but I think we got ahead of it this year. So yeah, Easter sneaks up like Christmas, right? All right, so do that. Secondly, about our Growing Grace campaign. If you've not been with us for a while, or maybe the first time in a while, or not been here before, Growing Grace is a campaign we have for, it's an initiative for renovating our church buildings and property and for church growth. If you've been with us, you've already known some things look better. The parking, I mean, the outside's incredible. They've painted the back building. They've painted one of the sides of this building, so they'll be finishing up this week, I guess, Jeff, is that right? Putting the trim around there. The back building, I don't think we've taken any of you back there yet. Oh my gosh, you're going to walk in and go, where am I? It looks so incredible, so great. So we can't take you back there now, but Jason and I snuck in, and Libby snuck in with us. And it's good stuff, good stuff. The last thing we're going to do, and by the way, all of what we're talking about will be done by Easter. We will not have had a chance to do the interior of the church. That'll be the last thing that we do. But the rest of it's looking pretty good. And are we doing Easter food back there this Easter, right? It'll be fixed up. Dude, man, eggs and steak. I mean, if it's going to be new, let's break it in, right?
I'm not complaining.
I think that's every. Oh, did
you better clear that with my wife? You talked about her.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I tell you what. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come here today with truly grateful and thankful hearts. We thank you for every blessing that you give us. And Lord, as we Easter and comes rather quick, we do pray that you bless this church and bless each person here that we're able to reach people for you. And find people to invite to church. Lord, as we do each time we pray, we love you. And we ask all this in your heavenly name. Amen. You guys have a great week. We'll see you next week.